Let me go ahead before we dive in this morning and dismiss the youngest among us. You are welcome to stay in here or welcome to go. Thank you, Moses. All right. Well, it is good to be together. Let me invite you this morning to turn to Deuteronomy in chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, if you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 146, the words will be on the screen behind me as well. We are going to continue our journey through the Jesus backstory, the backstory that is the Torah, the first five books of our Bibles. Again, the Torah divided into 54 parshiot, and today we come to number 51. Number 51 of the 54. So we've gone through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and now Deuteronomy 29 and verse 10, and Parsha Nitzavim runs through the end of chapter 30, 29 and 10 through the end of 30. And so let's begin there, Deuteronomy 29, picking it up verse 10, it says, we read, Atem Nitzavim. Nitzavim means standing. Atem is you, means you, pronoun you. It's plural, it's you all, right? You all are standing. Atem Nitzavim. You all are standing, hayom, meaning today or this day, kulahem, meaning the whole, the total, everyone. And so we read, you all are standing this day, the whole of you, every one of you. And then if we drop down just a bit, he actually lists off, Moses begins to list, right? We read your leaders and chief men, your elders and officials, and all the other men of Israel, together with your children and your wives and the foreigners living in your camps, and then by way of example, the choppers of wood and the carriers of water. And so he's including everyone, all of you. You all are standing this day, each one, everyone. He says, lifne, meaning in the presence of, it literally means before the face of God, before the face of Adonai Eloheim, the Lord your God. You all are standing this day, each one, everyone, before the face of the Lord your God. And then he goes on, he says, you all are standing, again, Atem Nitzavim, you all are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, a covenant the Lord is making with you all, this day, and sealing with an oath to confirm you this day as his people, that he may be your God as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob. And then verse 14, I am making this covenant with its oath, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here today. And so really here we have this bit about God. He's establishing a covenant with his people. And then straight away, Moses speaks to what happens when someone, verse 19, chooses not to follow God's covenant. Right? Chooses maybe their own direction. And then dropping down to verse 20, it says, we read, there will not be forgiveness. God's wrath and zeal will burn against them. Curses will fall on them, their names blotted out, a burning waste, no vegetation. There is complete destruction, it says, like Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma and Zeboim. And it sounds like a lot like fire and brimstone. From the Jewish scholar Daniel Lowenstein, he writes, sulfur, salt, scorched earth, blackened fields, and an utter absence of life. That is a haunting visual. But then he goes on and he says, it is also incredibly uncommon. Noting there are plenty of descriptions of devastation and punishment in the Torah, but the Torah never compares any of them to Sodom. The Torah never compares any of them to Sodom. And so the question becomes, why? Why the echo? Why the echo in this story that we find here in Parsha Nitzavim? Why this echo? And I'm glad you asked, because I think it's inviting us to look a bit more closely, to look maybe a bit more deeply. Keeping in mind, again, the central piece here is this relationship, right, is the relationship between God and his people. You all, right, are standing here in order to enter into a covenant with the Lord your God, not only with you who are standing here with us today in the presence of the Lord our God, but also with those not here today, meaning that absolutely it was for them right then and there. And yet it's also for us, right, even today, here and now. Noting again, straight away, we read about this someone, right? Verse 19, who, it says, hears the words of this oath, right? And so he was there. He's part of this plural you, right? He's part of the you all. And yet that one, we read, invokes not the oath, but rather it says a blessing on the self, right? Thinking I will be safe, right? Even though I persist in going my own way. And then we read that one will bring disaster on the watered land as well as the dry. Now, I'm not a Jewish scholar. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But I have access to some who are. And the sense here is beyond confusing. Again, from the scholar Lowenstein, he writes regarding this passage, this section. He says, we literally just don't understand what the Torah is saying. The language is cryptic or metaphorical. Word roots are ambiguous. There are 12 missing pronouns. List goes on and on. And yet, what we do know is that there is a very real connection here between Nitzavim and the story of Sodom. And so I want you to stay with me because that's kind of where we're going to go. We're going to kind of piece this out a little bit and then maybe see what it has for us. Noting again, first off, we read about those who are standing in order to enter into a covenant with God. And so I want us to remember the standing. Just keep the standing in mind for a moment. And then verse 19, we're introduced. It says, to such a person who, in effect, here's what God is saying, right? Here's what God is announcing, but instead of entering into that covenant, chooses to pray his own blessing over himself. And so we have the standing, and now we have the blessing. It then goes on, it continues, even though I persist in going my own way, right? Even though I'm determined to do what it is that I want to do. And then we read sefot. Sefot is a Hebrew word. It means to carry, or even more, it means to sweep, to sweep away. I mean, we could translate this, the well-watered will carry, will sweep away along with the dry. And so we have now, in effect, three pieces, right? We have the standing, we have the blessing, and we have the sweeping, and that's where we then find this connection back to the story of Sodom. And so I want to go back now to Genesis 18 for just a moment. Page 12 in the Pew Bible, if you're there, the words will be on the screen. But it's in chapter 18 here that we pick up the story of Sodom. Verse 17, God, he's speaking here, and he says, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, it says, by doing what is right and just. Now, there's a couple of connections here that we want to make. First off, notice here we read of the blessing, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, right, through Abraham. Right, juxtaposed against Parsha Nitzavim, right, where we read they, the one, right, that one, invokes a blessing on, or that can be for, invokes a blessing for himself. And so first off, we have this connection of the blessing. And then we keep going, and next in Genesis 18 and verse 20, it says, and we read, then the Lord said, right, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. Verse 22, the men turned away and went toward Sodom. But Abraham remained, it says, standing before the Lord. Right? Standing before the face of God. Standing in the presence of. And again, in Nitzavim, right? Same language, same posture. Right? You all are standing, and here Abraham remains standing, right? In covenant then with God. And so we have this connection with the blessing and now the standing. And then we go on, verse 23, then Abraham approached God and said, will you, sefot, right? Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Right? Again, this connection to Parsha Nitzavim. right? Connecting, right? Sefot, right? Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Will you sweep away the watered land with the dry? And then notice here that Abraham repeats, and he says it again, will you sefot, right? Will you really sweep it away? And so again, over and over again, we get this connection. We hear the echo, right? From the standing to the blessing to the sweeping, right? The Torah is connecting these two stories. And it echoes actually down then to you and me today. Because really what we have here are, we could say, two kinds of paradigms, right? Two ways of doing life and relationship. Starting with the blessing, we'll start with the blessing here from Genesis and the Sodom story. God tells us, right? It comes through Abraham and his descendants. Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation. All nations on earth will be blessed through him. Note here that the blessing, the direction of the blessing is outward. Yes, the blessing comes to Abraham, right? But notice the blessing, it travels outward, juxtaposed over and against in Parsha Nitzavim, right, where we read he blesses himself in his heart, right? And so we have the direction of the blessing coming inward. Two different paradigms, ways of doing life, right? We have one that is blessing others, and we have one that is blessing the self. We then can go on to the standing, reading from the text here in Genesis. Abraham remains standing before the Lord. Keeping in mind, again, that idea of standing, it's about a covenant with God. It's about a relationship with God. With God, it conveys being in the presence of, before the face of. And then we have the word chosen, right? Just before this passage that we just read, right? We have the one who is standing. It says, for I have chosen him. That word chosen is from the Hebrew yada. Yada, remember, is oneness. It's unity. It's intimacy, right? And so we have the one who is standing then in close, intimate connection with we could say the posture, right? The standing, right? That Abraham is standing in close, intimate connection. You all are standing in close, intimate connection with God. And that, again, is juxtaposed over and against Parsha Nitzavim, right, where we read what is the persistence in going one's own way, right? The one who is determined to do what he wants to do, right? Determined to do whatever it is that I want to do. Again, two different paradigms, two different ways of doing life and relationships. One, standing with God, intimate connection. The other, going your own way. And then finally, we have in both passages the sweeping, right? Be it the well-watered sweeping away the parched land, or be it this parched land sweeping away the well-watered. All of which, I think, in kind of modern language, is this idea of influence. Right? To consider, like, what kind of effect, right? How will I impact the world around me? Right? Again, two different paradigms, two different ways of doing life and relationships, right? Because I can stand with God, blessing others, influencing for good. I can go my own way, blessing self, influencing for worse. In fact, in Parsha Nitzavim, right, we read here, kind of at the close, chapter 30 and verse 11, Moses is speaking here, and it says, we read, now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Verse 13, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you, right? It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, so you may obey it. And then he says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity. I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. And in light of Parsha Nitzavim, right? We could say, see, I set before you standing with God, blessing others, influencing for good. And I set before you going your own way, blessing yourself, influencing for worse. And then it says, now choose life. Right? Now choose life. Choose standing with God, intimate connection with God, blessing others. Right? Influencing for the better. From the scholar and rabbi Jonathan Sacks, he says, that is the epic significance of Nitzavim, the parsha that stands almost at the end of the Torah. It is about a new beginning in which we act for God instead of waiting for God to act for us. He goes on then and he shares kind of a personal story. He says, many years ago at the beginning of my rabbinical career, I kept waiting for a word of encouragement from a senior rabbinical figure. I was working hard, seeking new ways of getting people engaged in Jewish life and learning. You need support at such moments because taking risks and suffering the inevitable criticism is emotionally draining. He goes on to say the encouragement never came. Then in a lightning flash of insight, I thought, what if? What if I turn the entire scenario around? What if instead of waiting for Rabbi X to encourage me, I encouraged him? What if I did for him what I was hoping he would do for me? That was a life-changing moment. He says, I began to formulate it as an ethic. Don't wait to be praised. Praise others. Don't wait to be respected. Respect others. Don't stand on the sideline criticizing others. Do something yourself to make things better. Don't wait for the world to change. The world is waiting for you. And so what about us? What about you and me? As we think about, as we reflect on our days, on our activities, on our relationships with others, we could ask, am I doing life in covenant with God or in covenant with self? Put it another way, we could say, is my posture standing with God or standing with self? In other words, going my own way. Right? Is my posture one of standing with God, intimate connection, or is it determined to do what I want to do? We could ask, am I bent toward intimacy with God or doing what I want to do? Right? As I think about my getting up and my going out, the people that I come across. And I don't know where that lands with you today, but maybe it's just an opportunity to kind of do a reset. Right? To kind of renew that intimate connection with God. To bend toward more intimate communication and connection with God. We can also think of the blessing here and consider, are my blessings oriented toward others or toward self? Right in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I bless you, really, that you may be a blessing. A blessing, it says, to all nations, to all people. Not those necessarily that are just like me, look like me, talk like me, walk like me, but to everyone. Are my blessings oriented toward others or toward self? Do I seek to pass the blessing to others or do I keep the blessing? Do I engage each interaction, right, each connection with another intent on blessing the other? Right, do I enter into every connection, every conversation with the intent to bless the other? And then we can think about the sweeping and kind of consider and reflect on what kind of impact am I making on the world around me? Is it for better or for worse, right? Family, friends, neighbors, our enemies, those that we don't get along with, don't see eye to eye. What kind of impact am I making on the world around me? What kind of influence am I bringing to bear on those around me? And then to borrow the words of Rabbi Sacks here, and then we'll sit in some stillness together. What can I do today to make things better in the world? right? The world is waiting. Right? We don't wait for the world to change, but what can I do today, this week, to make things better in the world? All of you are standing today in the presence of the Lord your God.